Welcome, everybody, to the R&R CatCast, a fan-based podcast focusing on Montana State athletics. We're two dudes named Ryan from the state of Washington talking about our dear Montana State. We hope you enjoy. All right, welcome back, Bobcat fans. Thanks for joining us on another episode of the R&R CatCast, the Cat Grizz episode of the R&R CatCast.
Cat Grizz.
I'm one of your hosts, Ryan Foley. He's your host, Ryan Thornburg. We are the Ryans of the R&R, the Montana State affiliate of the Big Sky Podcast Network. And we have a sweet sponsor, Gear Up Sports, a youth sports platform focused on solving the uniform and apparel headache for coaches. If you're a youth or high school coach and need uniforms or player packs, please contact them at www.gearupwithus.com and make sure to mention the R&R CatCast. Thorny Cat Grizz Week. The week we love, the week we hate, it's here. Let's embrace it.
The worst, best week of the year. Oh, man. It's here. I just want it to be Saturday. That's usually what happens. Like, I don't want the week to happen. I want the game to happen. I don't want all the buildup. I don't want all the waiting. Don't want all the trash talking. I don't want any of the stuff that accompanies the game, except for the actual game day itself.
You don't want the 10 podcasts that come out this week and everything that comes out on the media and all the prognostications and the predictions.
It's blowing up this year because biggest Cat Grizz ever is what everyone is saying. And I get that, but I also don't get that. Montana State Bobcat fan put it best. He is Bobcats46 on Twitter. He follows us and interacts with us. He says, this week there is more stuff to read and watch on the Cats and Grizz than there is any other time during the year, and I don't read or watch any of it. I'm kind of in the same boat. Here we are putting out content. Are you going to listen to it? I don't know. I feel like I'm kind of in that boat. There's so much stuff to consume. It's a little bit overwhelming, and sometimes I just don't consume anything on this week.
It's funny how I ride that roller coaster. I totally understand where you're coming from. I lean into that a little bit. Actually, one of our listeners texted me today. He goes, what do you think about Cat Grizz Week? And I said, I love and hate it. But most of the time, it's just, can we just get to Saturday?
Yeah.
Because the hyperbole of the moment, the game itself, it's just, it feels like it's played in a vacuum. This whole week feels isolated out of reality to me. And yeah, to be honest, I'm just going to state it right now. The outcome of this game, I don't know if it matters that much.
It matters in, to me, seeding. Other than that, like, I don't know. I think either team's getting a bye week regardless. And the Cats lost Cat Grizz in 2021 and went to the national championship. You and I both discussed at length, if we'd have won the national championship game, I don't care that we lost to the Grizz. Do not care. I don't care how much crap Grizz fans will give you for the rest of eternity. They can't. They can't give you crap. You won the national championship. They beat you, whatever. Who cares? You won the ultimate goal. That's the ultimate goal for me as a Bobcat fan, not beating the Grizz. That's like goal number two, maybe? Goal number three? Big Sky Conference championship maybe even supersedes that to me. I want to be on the I want to be nationally relevant, not just the best team in the state of Montana.
Yeah.
Oftentimes they're synonymous, but not always.
The timing of this game affects the seeding of the playoffs. If this game was in October or something like that, you could recover and then have momentum built into it. But listener, don't get me wrong. I do care about the Cat Grizz. I do care about the Cat Grizz. And everybody's going to be shout Foley. Hey, you know, if you win this game, number two seed on the line, what's the most determining factor of going to the national championship in the last decade?
Home field advantage.
Yes, home field advantage. You're right. I think Montana State's good enough. Even if we lose this game, we can make the national championship. Yep. Not if we can. That is something I believe in my heart 100%.
It's a roadblock for the ultimate goal if we end up losing. But yeah, it's a huge win. Don't get me wrong. So, yes, it's a huge win in the seeding implications more than it is anything.
Okay. We'll miss out on the shiny rings. The conference championship, maybe a banner. So yeah, these are all big things.
They're all big things.
But when you take a holistic view at it, is losing this game super detrimental. Well, no, you're not going to miss the playoffs. No, you will not miss a seed. And so those two things, those are kind of really big things when you want to win the national championship, Thorny. So yes, I think no matter what happens for either team in this game, they're going to go into the playoffs and feel pretty good about themselves.
Yeah. It's crazy. Man, we're just getting right into it. You mentioned though, like last game of the season, if this game was like the week three or week four, like both teams could be a top four seed. But since it's the last game, it guarantees that both teams won't be a top four seed every year. You could have number one and number two team in the country going up against each other. The loser is going to get bumped probably down to four or five. That's just the way it's going to go. It kind of sucks in a way because it's two great teams that have a chance to be hosting throughout the playoffs, and they will never get to do so because they play each other the last game of the season.
Yeah.
Crazy. Anyway.
I was going to say maybe the Big Sky Conference can take a look at that, but I don't know. It's the people call it the Super Bowl of Montana, the Brawl of the Wild.
It adds to the game.
What was it called? The Montana Power Classic at one point.
Yes, the Montana Power Classic. Are you a brawl guy? We've talked about this.
I don't really care. Yeah. I call it the Brawl of the Wild sometimes. I know you're anti-brawl.
No, man, I love the brawl.
Oh, do you?
I'm pro brawl.
Okay.
I like the brawl. I think it's a cool nickname. I know that people like, I think people get on it because they get defensive about people's perspectives of Montana. We're not just like this big wilderness that people are brawling in or something. I don't know. I think it's a cool name. It's a unique name. Just saying like the brawl. I don't know. I think it's cool. I like it. I don't think it's corny. I like it. I'm weird. I'm alone, I think, in that one.
Cat Grizz, I'm good with that. I'm still good with Brawl of the Wild. I'm good with Brawl. The only thing I'm not good with is Grizz Cat.
Yeah, that's stupid.
Yeah, it just doesn't sound right. I get it. Like, if you're a Grizz fan, but like, it sounds like you're trying too hard if you're going Grizz Cat. So, all right. Thorny, I'm going to try to pull this thing back, put us back on track, and kind of paint a picture
good
for
luck.
What's coming up. Ryan and I just railed against putting out too much content in. That's exactly what we're going to do this week. Tomorrow, we are going to record with Zach Levere, who's going to be joining us as a guest podcaster. And so we're going to give even more takes on this. But Ryan and I have become a little bit reclusive, and we've stopped inviting other people from other places to podcast with us because, hey, we just like talking with ourselves. We hope you like it as well. Here we go today. Here's what's on the docket. We're going to go into our normal show. We're going to break down what happened in the national rankings. We're going to talk about Coach Vegan's clothing, what he wore to his press conference, and anything else of important note from that. We'll talk about players of the week because we got two of them. Let's go. We'll break down a little bit of Eastern Washington. We'll probably touch on that. We got into that a little bit, mostly in the instant reaction show. It was a great win, not to be overlooked, but it's Cat Grizz week. You know where we're going to go with this. This is going to be Cat Grizz heavy. And then tomorrow, we're going to do another episode with Zach, and we'll talk more Cat Grizz. We'll see if our opinions change, what he has to say. And yeah, we're just going to put out two episodes. And if you like it, you like it. But we know a lot of you out there listen to us, and we appreciate you. This is so much fun for us. It's just, it fills my bucket to talk to you every week, Thorny.
Absolutely.
Because I think I need this at this point, like being a Bobcat fan, just hashing this out over the night. It's part of what I love about being a Bobcat fan anymore.
I think it's definitely reduced my time on Bobcat Nation, having this outlet, because otherwise it was Bobcat Nation, and I love Bobcat Nation, and I still post there a lot, but it's just nice being able to just talk.
Yeah.
You know, one-on-one about these kinds of things. It'll be interesting to have Zach on tomorrow because, you know, we're a little bit of an echo chamber between you and I. We share the same opinions on a lot of things. So someone will come in and maybe have some different thoughts, different takes for you listeners out there.
One thing I really enjoyed about being in this podcast that I never thought would happen was getting text messages from other people that we've bumped into. Players, parents, friends of the podcast, you know, they send me messages. How you doing? What do you think about this? it just feeds my Bobcat, wanting throughout the week. And that's really cool. I really like the part of that.
As long as it doesn't feed your ego, you're fine.
I think it does a little bit of that for me. And that's okay. I like to have a little bit of an ego. I think that's okay.
Nice.
All right. Before we get into anything, though, I guess we have to talk about what's in our golden coolies.
Yes, important this week.
What's in your golden coolie?
What's in your golden coolie is brought to you by Wilbur Ellis. See Shea Richter and Company over in Fort Benton for all your farming and fertilizer needs in the Golden Triangle. Foley, kind of doing a throwback a little bit here, kind of maybe a little bit of a curveball. I have Rolling Rock, the old Ooh. Green can, baby, because we're rolling. Green means go. Let's go. That's
I
all.
Like it, man.
Simplicity, man. Sometimes you just got to go nice and simple. Rolling Rock was a personal favorite of mine in college. Pabst and Rolling Rock. Big fans.
Good for you, dude. Yeah. When you said Rolling Rock, I thought of North Hedges right away.
Mm-hmm.
Just went right to my brain.
College, for sure.
Yep. There you go. I have Black Butte Porter.
That's a good one.
It is a really good one. My wife was wanting a porter, and I was standing in the grocery store looking up and down the aisles. I was like, I can't buy the Sierra Nevada Pale Ale until we win. So,
mm-hmm.
Can't buy a Moose Troll this week.
Nope, absolutely not. Can't even look at it.
Yeah, so she told me she wanted the porter season. You know, Black Butte Porter. There it is.
Plus, she's Butte, brewing. Butte, Montana. Tommy touchdown there. See?
Hey, there it is. I like it.
Making all the connections for you. All right. There we go. I like it.
All right, let's pop over to the FCS football rankings.
Which I do not have up.
I have it. South Dakota State is, let's see. Oh, this is coach's poll. I'm not going to make that mistake one more time. Let's see.
The two there times.
Yeah, there'd be two times.
Two more times.
So South Dakota State still is number one. Shocker.
The only team receiving the first place vote. No.
What's that?
I said they're the only ones receiving a first place vote.
Yeah, they are. Furman's number two. They're 9-1. And I love this because I kind of hope Furman gets the number two seed if Montana or Montana State doesn't get the number two seed. Because traveling to Furman, if we're on that same side of the bracket, heck of a lot easier than going through Brookings, South Dakota.
Yeah.
I'm just going to put it out there.
I mean, you'd rather be two than three that have Furman come to you.
Yes.
But yes. There is worse potential travel places for a semifinal game than Furman.
Yeah. The Grizzlies, number three. Montana State, number four. South Dakota, number five. Idaho dropped to number six after losing to Weber.
Oof.
V's down.
Sorry. Delaware up. Just looking at this. Because now we don't usually talk about other teams, but now it's getting to the point where seeding is going to kind of matter. So I'm just kind of looking who else is hanging out here in the top 10. Delaware.
Blue Hens.
8-2.
You know who's coaching Delaware?
I believe they beat a ranked Villanova team, which is why they moved up in the polls. And no, I have no idea who's coaching Delaware.
It's the same coach. I can't remember his name right now, but he coached Sam Houston State.
Casey Keeler?
Yeah.
He's back at Delaware? That's where he came from, I believe.
Correct.
He went from Delaware to Sam Houston. He went back to Delaware? I didn't know that. It's funny. Yep. Fighting Blue Hens.
Sac State was 9. They're up to 8 after squeaking by Cal Poly. North Dakota State's up to number 9, so they're in the top 10. They were up at 12.
Just hanging out right there.
Number 10, Villanova. What if North Dakota State makes a run?
Villanova went crazy. Up, so did they beat Delaware?
No. Ooh, I don't know.
Either way.
I thought Delaware lost.
Well, maybe they did. But they went up, I thought, in the polls. This game may have happened 2 weeks ago, Villanova-Delaware.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, with Idaho losing, everybody kind of shuffled. Feels like up a little bit in the top 10. Ooh. So
Nova and Delaware play on Saturday.
Oh.
So that's an interesting matchup right there.
Yeah.
Delaware fighting for top 8 seed. Nova... You know, Nova goes 9-2. They're probably top 8 seed. It'd be the highest ranked CAA team. So I think you'd have to give that best CAA team a spot. It's going to get real interesting.
Going to get funky.
There's some big games here. North Dakota State plays somebody good, I think, as well. I don't know who it is, but they play somebody ranked, I think, too.
Could it be South Dakota? No, South Dakota beat them already.
No, they play either like... play Northern Iowa.
Oh.
Yeah.
Where are they at?
They lost, so they fell down to 22nd. So UNI, 6-4, needs a win to go 7-4. If they beat North Dakota State, they'll probably get in at 7-4. I don't know. They need it. So that's an interesting game. Both teams playing for a lot there. I don't want NDSU to have a seed. I want NDSU to go 8-3 and have to travel somewhere, anywhere. Because even last year, they got lucky and had home field advantage all throughout the playoffs. They got somehow seeded above the Bobcats, which was baloney to start with. And then, what was it? Like, Incarnate Word
beat... I think it had the 2 seed.
Incarnate Word beat Sac State, which gave NDSU another home game. I think that's what it was, because Sac State was like 2 or 3 seed last year.
Yeah, they were the 2 seed. What was Montana State last year?
Were we 4? Because that would make sense why we went to SDSU. I don't remember, though.
Yeah.
We may have been higher. No, we were... Yeah, we must have been 4. Anyway. I think we can go as high as 3 this year. I don't think we'll get number 2. Worst thing that can happen to the Cats is we win... And we get the 4 seed somehow. Then we go back to Brookings in the semis. That would piss me off. But yeah. I could see it happening, which makes me mad.
Would you rather face the Bison, or excuse me, not the Bison. Would you rather face them in the Jackrabbits in the semis, or would you rather face them in the national championship?
National championship.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because you can make the field neutral, if not pro Bobcat, and you know it's not going to be the frozen tundra in Brookings.
Yeah, that's a good point. Good point. All right. They're your FCS rankings. They matter right now.
They do.
Okay. Well, get into the presser. And when Coach Vegan was wearing.
And now, Bobcat fans, it's time for FNF Fashion Watch, brought to you by Foley and Fisher, the only two that seem to really care what Brent Vegan is wearing at his press conference.
Coach Vegan had a navy suit on, white shirt. He had, a blue and gold striped tie. So,
I think Roger screenshotted it and took a picture and put it on Twitter, so I saw it. Looked good, man. Looking good for Cat Grizz. Nice Bobcat situation going on there. I like it.
And you all know that I write out all my notes, and it's on a steno pad that's half cut with a blue line, if you know what that means. Thorny, I almost messed this up because next to white shirt on my next note over on the next column was red shirt. Speaking of a red shirt, you know, freshman or something like that. I'm like, what?
Can you imagine Megan going up there and just rocking a bright red shirt underneath his blazer?
Paying homage to Eastern. Oh my gosh. All right. Yeah. So there you go. Coach Vegan looking good. Stood up there for almost 40 minutes. Coulter Nuan has given him about a good 15 minutes at the very end. And I was like, Coulter just kept coming at him. And I was like, geez. All right, Coulter, give it your classic. This is the last one from me, Coach. He went long. He's just trying to squeeze every ounce of the Cat Grizz so people get the listens in. So, anyways, good for that. Prior to this, did you watch any of the post game press conferences with Noel Naskelson and Sean Chambers?
So, no, I started some, but I didn't finish them. But again, just not consuming too much content this week.
Two observations from that. Some guy, I don't know who it was, I couldn't recognize the voice. They were asking some like kind of funny questions or off topic questions. And they asked who would win in a fight Champ or Monty. And of course they said Champ. And the guy goes, well, what would Champ's finishing move be? And it was kind of awkward. But then Nolan Askelson saved it at the end. He goes, oh, the people's elbow.
the people's elbow. Nice.
People's elbow. Askelson looked 100% mad / locked in. I loved it. He was like, he wasn't even turning his head. He was just turning his eyes to look at the reporters. He was facing deadpan forward. Victor would look at him or give him a question. He would just be, you know, cock his eyes to the left. You know, just give great answers. He's locked in 100%. When I saw his demeanor, I was like, oh, it's Cat Grizzly, baby. So shout out to Nolan. Okay, let's see. Coach Vegan said Sean's per play production, it's hard to beat. And that's true. I want to talk a lot about Sean Chambers, and I'm going to withhold any comments on that because I think that's going to be a big conversation. He's going to say it's going to be the battle of the wills for us to run against their defense, and we're going to have to stay the course. Well, that's a big key in this football game. Injury front, Drew Polidor, he's going to be available. I don't know if he's going to play. He just said he's going to be available. Danny Yu, same, available. Not sure he's going to play. Train will be practicing this week. Again, I don't know if that what that means. He's practicing, but will he play? Not sure. Looks like Aiden Garrigan will be back. That's the only for sure thing I could say from Coach Vegan on that.
No, I mean, that's definitely more positive injury update than we've had in some time.
Yeah. The only other notable thing he said is we need to play the game on our toes, not on our heels. He mentioned in, when did we get beat? Was it 2021?
Yeah, 2 years ago.
He said in 2021, we played on our heels. So
absolutely.
Like we could, essentially, we need to be the aggressor, not the reactor.
That team, that was such a weird game.
It was.
But last year, we were the aggressor, 100%.
Yeah. It's a weird thing. He kind of mentioned, he said, we need to be unpredictable and attack the width of the field. We need to be able to do what we do, but we need to make them not know what's coming. And if we can do that, we're going to have success and we're going to be able to get ahead of them. I think where it's going to be dangerous for the Bobcats is if we get punched first, punched second, kind of a la Idaho, where it goes sideways, but sideways too long where we can't recapture it. Even in Idaho, though, we almost beat them.
Yep.
And that was a half of football that we really took back.
Yeah. If you're framing things in like the punch situation, I don't think you can really knock TKO the Bobcats. Like, you can knock them into the ropes, and we didn't get back up in time. I guess that would be a TKO, not a KO. But, you know, you're not going to knock the Cats out. They're going to keep punching back. They may not win, but I just don't think you're going to just completely knock the Cats out like maybe you did in 2021.
Yeah. All right.
But it's a good press conference. I listened to the whole thing through this time. It's been a minute. In fact, it might be the first time this year that I've done so.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Coach Vegan, getting a little bit more comfortable beyond the mic. Do you think he's going to a legit candidate for the Boise State?
Hard to say. I want to say no. I feel like it's a no, but, you know, I just don't think Boise State would dip down into the FCS ranks.
Yeah.
They'd rather get a coordinator from P5 school who has no head coach experience than a really winning head coach from the FCS, Big Sky.
Bad timing, right? Does this put this? Is this a distraction for Montana State?
I don't think so. But, you know, you look back at the national championship in 2021. Oh, my gosh. Who was our defensive coordinator at the time?
Kane Ione.
No. Freddie Banks.
No. Oh, yeah, Freddie
Banks. That's so right. Freddie Banks had either accepted the job or was like basically come down to him as a finalist like a week or two before the national championship game. And was that a distraction? Who knows? But didn't have a good performance, but we also, you know, Tommy got hurt like on the third play from scrimmage or something. So hard to say, hard to say. I don't think it'll be a distraction. I think the team's too locked in on the final goal, and Vigan wouldn't even like let it happen.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to get the job. Does he deserve it? I don't know.
I'm not sure he even wants the
job over there. Exactly. You got Jeff Choate in the mix again. The old hat seen in there, and then you have a couple Power 5 coordinators, offensive coordinators from Washington, Kellen Moore's brother, who's like offensive coordinator at Missouri. I don't know.
They'll have no shortage of candidates for sure.
Boise State's weird, man, because they were once like the darling of college football. They just feel kind of eh. It's the middle of the road right now.
It's because they kept getting shut out.
Yeah.
They tried so hard to get into that upper echelon of the college elite, and the upper echelon didn't want them inside. And eventually they kind of just fell off because they just couldn't get there, and they couldn't get there, and they realized, maybe they didn't realize, but people realized, like, they're just not going to ever be invited into the Cool Kids Club. And it's lame. I liked Boise State. I love the run they went on. I wish they would have been able to parlay that into something bigger, but they're still a Mountain West squad, man.
Yeah, there it is. The Mountain West squad. And that's what it comes down to. They're not playing in the Big Ten. They're not playing in the SEC. Yeah. You're not gonna be nationally reputable when you're beating San Jose State, New Mexico State, Wyoming,
Colorado State.
Exactly.
Yep.
All right. We're not here to talk Boise State. We're here to talk Montana State beating Eastern in the Cat Grizz.
We've hardly mentioned a peep about this so far. We are 26, borderline 27 minutes into this podcast. We've like, oh yeah, by the way, we beat Eastern Washington.
Kicked their butts.
Kicked
them.
The butts off of them.
I know what you're thinking right now.
Actually, no. I did think about what you said, but it was me also saying something stupid. Kick the butts. Like, where do I go from here? I said it. Now I got to somehow navigate that first part of the sentence I said somewhere. Got to land the jet somewhere. Sometimes, man, you know, I give props to anybody who can do like live radio.
Yeah.
I trip over my own words too much. I stutter too much. I stammer. I can't do it. I think I've gotten a lot better on this podcast since when we first started, but I'm nowhere near somebody can go on a radio and not sound like an idiot.
Yeah.
But now we're doing the no edit thing, so we're basically on the radio because we're not going to edit any of this.
Yep. Get what you get.
Get what you get.
You better like it.
Well, do you like stats? Are we at the point where we're going to talk some stats?
I wrote a ton of them down. Let's talk about them.
Let's talk about the stats. All right. Bobcats crush Eastern Washington 57-14 in a game that was over like partway through the second quarter.
Yeah.
So we're going to go down the stats here. Eagles had more first downs, 19-16. The Eagles were just 4-for-16 on third down, man. That was the Cats did a really good job of getting off the field on this one. It was such a change from the previous Idaho especially, but even Northern Arizona a little bit. So that was good on the Cats. Cats were 6-12 themselves on third down and 1-for-1 on fourth down. Pretty early in the game, I believe they went for it on fourth down. 551 yards of total offense for the Cats, 276 through the air, and 275 on the ground. So the definition of balanced, at least in terms of output, not play calls, there's plenty more rushes than there was passes. Eastern had just 394 total yards. Not just, I think that's decent. 394 total yards, 331 through the air, but just 63 on the ground on 32 attempts for 2.0 yards per carry. Quietly, the Bobcat rushing defense is actually playing really well. It's the passing defense that's kind of getting us a little bit. Teams are being able to move the ball, but we're stuffing the run game, which trends well going into Missoula next week. 5 penalties on the Cats for 65 yards, 3 penalties for Eastern for 22 yards, but this is the big stat of the day. 3 turnovers, Eastern Washington, 2 interceptions, and a fumble recovery, and time possession just pretty much about dead even, about 30 minutes apiece.
Eastern had 8 punts for 347 yards. We had 5 punts for 258.
It's crazy we punted 5 times in this game and scored 57
that
points.
Might be a 3. No, that's a 5.
Either way,
5 point.
Either way, scoring 57 points and punting at all.
Yeah, it is wild.
Did you listen to, real quick, I was listening to Vegan talk about Cat Grizz a little bit, and he just kind of casually mentioned, we didn't punt last year.
Yeah, he says, if we can do that again, that'd be good.
If we can do that again, that'd be great. Just not punt the ball one single time. Just thought that was kind of funny.
It was kind of funny. His Midwestern humor comes through sometimes. It's just kind of sneaky. Mm-hmm. I like it. All right, Eastern is 1-for-3 in the red zone. We were 4-for-4. We continue to be pretty good. Eastern had 2 sacks for 11 yards. Must be on Jordan Reed. I can't think of other ones.
I remember at least one on him.
All right. We had 5 sacks for 34 yards, and they were 0-for-1 on field goals. We were 1-for-1 on field goals.
Yeah, won the field goal battle, baby.
Woo! Snuck it right in there on a windy day. All right, here it is. Malott was 4-for-4 for 98 yards and 1 touchdown. And 3-for-43 on the ground. Chambers was 4-for-4 through the air for 119 yards and 3 touchdowns. 4-for-4, 3 touchdowns and 119 yards through the air. That was just in the air. He was 5-for-75 and 2 touchdowns. Oh, and we forgot to say player of the week, co-player of the week, offensive player of the week in Big Sky. Yep.
Who else was it?
The guy, the UC Davis running back.
Oh, right? Lane Larson. Yeah.
Yeah.
He had 276 rushing yards. That's fair.
Right? I mean, come on. So that's Jordan Reed, 7 passes, 7 for 11, 59 yards, and 5-for-7 rushing. I love when Jordan Reed rushes. Like, it's just like half the speed of Tommy Malott, but he gives it his all. You know,
he's not slow.
No, he's not.
I think
he's just Tommy Malott and Chain.
Well, he's one of those guys that's so tall, he looks slow.
Yeah.
But he's covering a lot of ground because he's, you know, 6'6 or something, right?
He's a long dude. Scotty Humphrey had 3 carries for 84 yards with the longest 74. He had 1 catch for 63 yards. There's something that.
Yeah, so we had like 150 total yards from the line of scrimmage on 4 touches.
Elijah Elliott. It's good to see Elijah back. He had 8 carries for 31 yards. Lane Sumner was 5 carries for 5 yards. 1 touchdown. Ty McCullough had 4 catches for 125 yards with 2 touchdowns. Woo! Taco Dowler had 2 catches for 33 yards. Cleve Ann had 1 catch for 15 yards and 1 touchdown.
Nice touchdown pass where he broke out of a tackle.
Yeah, it was a bullet from Chambers. Blake Stillwell led the team with 7 solo and 9 total tackles. You know, in the absence of Drew Polidor, Blake Stillwell has been playing really good.
He's going to be really good for the Cats.
Yeah.
He's not to Drew Polidor's level, but he's coming along, man.
Yeah. And I think what Drew Polidor does so well is recognize play and just attack. Blake Stillwell is getting there.
He's getting there.
Yeah. All right. Askelson had 8 total, 1 interception. Ryland Ort, 6 total, 1 tackle for a loss. Paul Brott. And Paul Brott, the last 2 games. Let's go. Come on, man.
Dude, he looks huge out there.
Oh, he is huge. 6 total, 2 tackles for a loss, 1 sack. Brody Grebe had 1.5 tackles for a loss, 1.5 sacks. So those are the same play. Cole Bullock had 1 tackle for a loss. Seabass had 1.5 tackles for a loss and 0.5 sack. Simeon Woodard had 1 tackle for a loss. Zach Cruz had himself a good day. And mop-up duty, 1 tackle for a loss, 1 interception, 1 touchdown, Zach Cruz. Ben Seymour, 1 tackle for a loss, 1 forced fumble, or fumble recovery, for 33 yards. Two yards short. He got smoked at the 2-yard line. And he talked about that in his press conference. He's like, man, I got hit out of nowhere. He thought he was going to get it. He had a pick. He had a scoop and score last year. Do you remember that?
Yeah, who was that against? I do remember that.
I think it was Weber.
Yeah, you might be right.
All right. Styx Hall had 5 punts, long for 62 and 4 inside the 20. He was the special teams player of the week.
We have some listeners who are saying that he should be like the boot or something now, the leg, something.
Dos boot.
Yeah, Dos boot. I saw that one on there.
I'm sorry, man. It just sticks in my head. And Dos Boot might be better, but I can't get sticks out. So Styx Hall is going to be for me. Kotsman, Casey, 6-for-8 on point afters. So there's something maybe to talk about with, I don't know, maybe we could talk about that. Maybe it's something we wait with Zach. He had a field goal for 35 yards. And then two Eastern players of note, Kiko Vesperis, 27 for 36 for 329 yards, two touchdowns, two interceptions. Take that as you will. Efton Chisholm, star receiver, Big Sky, stud, 9 catches, 94 yards. Blake Goble, 5 catches, 26 yards, 1 touchdown.
I like Efton Chisholm.
I do too.
I don't know why. I mean, his name is Efton Chisholm III. If that doesn't sound like the richest guy you, like preppy guy you've ever heard, I don't know who does. That guy comes from money, old money. Although, why is he Eastern?
What was the Texas quarterback's name way back when? Texas Longhorn. He had a cup of coffee in the NFL. He's backup quarterback, but he had such a rich name. who am I thinking of?
I don't know.
Oh.
I'm sure as soon as you say it, like, oh, of course. But I can't think of a single Texas quarterback right now. Not like Bryce Young. Vince Young.
I'm thinking of Vince Young. He's I'll look him up as you start talking. All right.
Okay. You look up Texas Longhorn quarterbacks because that's what the people are here to listen to. And I'll start talking a little bit about this game, hopefully. So we talked a lot about this game already kind of on the Instant Reaction show. I was thinking more about this, though. The style points in this game, I think, were important. I think we had mentioned, somebody asked Golden Cooley questions about that, and I kind of was a little bit dismissive in terms of, like, I don't think it's that important, but now that we've done it in a way that's 57-14, like, it feels good. I think, present ourselves a little tiny bit better, inching our way towards a top four seed, you know, assuming we can beat the Grizz. If we can beat the Grizz 3-0, it doesn't matter. Like, this is a style points matter, and next week will be a top five win, road win. So that's going to count no matter what, how ugly that is. So I think it's important. So I was pretty happy with just the final score. And Eastern couldn't stop anything, man. They couldn't stop our backups. They couldn't stop anybody.
Major Applewhite.
Never heard of this person.
Who's richer, Major Applewhite or Efton Chisholm III?
I don't know. They should join together and form a lawyer firm, an accountant firm. Applewhite and Chisholm.
That's Esquire. Like old plantation owners or something. Come on.
Jeez, those are some names. Okay.
All right, sorry.
Let's see.
Hey, beating Eastern is always good. Always good. But like you said, Thorny, I do believe when it comes down to seeding, I think the playoff committee is kind of like, what have you done for me lately kind of feel? Because that matters.
It does.
Whipping Eastern at home matters.
And when
we can buy someone, matters too, but not in a good way.
Yeah, if you're competing with a team like Furman, who's going to potentially have one less loss than you, but a weaker strength of schedule, but they've been like, you know, Furman hasn't been winning big. They've had a weaker schedule, and they're not really winning by a lot. So if you have a better schedule, one more loss, but you've been blowing teams out, I mean, that might be the tiny little, you know, push you need to get over the top of Furman to jump them in the seeding. So maybe it can't hurt.
I'm tired of these Furmans and Delawares of the world where you're like, would Furman hold a candle to Portland State?
I mean, I don't know, man. It's easy to sit here and say like Furman would be middle of the pack in the Big Sky or something, but I don't know that. I haven't watched a single second of Furman. No, I take that back. I watched a little bit of their Chattanooga game, but I think their quarterback was out that game. Take that with a grain of salt, I guess, but I don't know. I feel like these Southern Conference teams, the Southland teams, all these kinds of teams, once in a blue moon, they have a team that's dominant like Sam Houston State was, but generally, their best teams are not great in the playoffs and not good against the Big Sky, it feels.
I miss Sam Houston State. I never thought I would say that, but they were good for the FCS.
They were fun to make fun of, and they like didn't have very good crowds and all that stuff, but they were a good football team.
Yeah.
Say what you want about everything else and the hideous uniforms and all that. They could play some football. And they were consistent, yeah. Man. They were good like every single year. They're in the national championship games against North Dakota State. They were always competing. And they were smoking
fast,
the Bobcats.
Physical.
They're smoking the Rob Ash Bobcats.
Gosh. Killer instinct of Mother Teresa, Rob Ash.
Yeah, that's right. But yeah, I mean, just one less good team in the FCS. But now, I was thinking about this today. The one seed and the two seed should always be a Big Sky team or a Missouri Valley Football Conference team, period.
Yeah. I mean, in perpetuity, maybe. Maybe. That's like, you're just saying that like carte blanche, like it's never going to change. Yeah. I don't know if I agree with
that. Yeah. I mean, there will be extenuating circumstances. Like Furman, for example, they're out of conference wasn't very good. They played Tennessee Tech. They played, I forget who it was, like Mercer or somebody, some other not impressive school, and they lost to an FBS team. It's like, okay. Now, if they had an FBS win on the resume and they were undefeated, absolutely two seed. I mean, you could almost start arguing a one seed at the point, but otherwise, I don't know. The best team from the Southland shouldn't be seeded higher than the team that wins the Big Sky Conference title outright.
I know. That's what I start to wonder about this stuff. I'm like, does the playoff committee say they're in their like little conference room that they have this meeting? They're like, well, you know, Furman, they went 9-2. We gotta let them represent somehow. But and everybody knows they're like, yeah, but they're still not as good as Idaho. Or you just can't. At one point, you're like, "Well, they won 9-2. What else were they supposed to do? We gotta give them." But everybody knows they're not as good as maybe the top third of the Big Sky.
I mean, that's what the FCS is supposed to be about. So it's a little hypocritical of me to talk about this, hating on the FBS because only the elites make it to the playoffs, and then here rallying for the exact same thing. And the FCS.
I think that's where strength of schedule comes in. That's where you really have to look and put a lot of weight in strength of schedule. And if you don't like that, then play a better schedule, be in a better conference. I don't know what to tell you.
You gotta. I mean, and the FCS is weird too because there's money games, but not every team has to play a money game. So it's like punishing the teams that don't have the finances, so they have to go lose to an FBS school. So that's why the committee kind of throws those out. So that's weird then. So like, okay, if you throw that out, then Furman's going to end up 10-0 if you're not counting the FBS loss.
Yeah.
So that's...
Should they be number one?
Another thing to consider. But then, yeah, you have one less win than South Dakota State. It's weird. It's a weird thing. I don't really envy the committee.
Nope.
We can rail on their final decisions and all that stuff, but it would be hard.
Let's talk about that next week when we have the playoff selection in hand.
Yes. Okay. keeping on the Eastern Washington game, another big positive for me in this game was, taking out like the starting offense in the beginning of the second half. Like Tommy was out. Yeah. Chambers was out. I don't know who we were rocking at quarterback. Did Scottry go the whole second half? I know Julius Davis only had 5 carries. He didn't even play in the second quarter hardly at all. We took him out pretty early on.
I stopped keeping track, man, to be honest with you. I saw Jordan Reed got in there. I'm surprised Chance Wilson didn't get any play or somebody else. I was hoping to see a different quarterback.
But I disagree. With the propensity, not the propensity, but like our starting quarterbacks, one of the two is almost likely to get hurt in the playoffs. Right? Like if it's just we haven't gone an entire
season. Even. Say anything like that.
We haven't. We've had two seasons of Sean and Tommy both being Big Cat and Little Cat, and they've both missed chunks of games, multiple games each. So you need a third guy ready to go. You can't be messing around. If Jordan Reed's the guy you want to be the third guy, He needs every single rep, not Chance Wilson.
No, they're not going to do that. They're not going to mix any other chilies in this season.
Yeah, fair
enough. Chambers go down, Malott's going to go stem to stern. That's Malott fair. Goes down, Chambers is going to go stem to stern until they can't.
Fair enough. But you just have to, I mean, you got to have a guy ready to go. So I don't know. I get what you're saying. All right. And that's the most likely answer, but I prefer to have put all the chips into one guy at this point. Chance will have plenty of time.
Well, here's my thought on Eastern. We took their souls early, and it felt great. I didn't even get to watch the game for the first half, and my phone was blown up. I was like, how are we doing? We're looking dominant. Every time, every 5 minutes, I was like, oh, man, another touchdown. Go Cats. Took care of business. You did what you need to do. Now we're rolling into the Cat Grizz, just as we should.
It's weird talking about Eastern Washington like we just beat Northern Colorado. But it was it felt kind of like we just beat a team that didn't stand a chance against the Cats. Now, I mean, the Eastern's not like they're going to end up with a losing record. So they are closer to Northern Colorado than they are to like the Idahos and the Montanas and the Montana States this year. It's just crazy to think that's kind of where Eastern is. And that's kind of how we view this game. Kind of meh. We didn't feel that way up to it, but now that we beat them so badly, like the second half was, you know, hard to watch. The game's over.
Eastern,
you're just doing.
Is Eastern better than Northern Arizona?
Did they play?
I don't know. This is all. Let's see.
I would imagine Arizona. Eastern and NAU are probably pretty evenly matched.
Actually, they played this week. Okay, is Eastern better than Davis?
No.
You don't think so?
No, not if Lane Larison's healthy anyway.
Okay.
I mean, UC Davis has a chance to make the playoffs.
I'm not impressed with Davis.
No, they're not a good football team, but they might finish 7-4, which is, they'd be the easiest
schedule. This goes back. This is why we do this podcast. We rank their schedule by far the easiest schedule.
That's why I picked them to go like 8-3. And they could finish 7-4 and not be too far off. I didn't have them losing to NAU. Other than that, you know, they're kind of on schedule. Like, you know, if they beat Sac State, that'll be a top 10 win on their resume, 7-4.
Yeah, and I feel like Sac is trending down right now too. So that could be that Causeway Classic is going to be a matchup. How about Weber State? Just looking at my schedule right now. Sorry, I wanted to get too off-tangent.
You were
off
excited
tangent.
About Weber State right there.
Woo!
You're probably more excited about anybody else than Ogden has been excited about Weber State.
Gosh, after going to the Kibbe Dome, oh, man. The interactions I had at the Kibbe Dome, losing and then coming home and getting COVID all within a day was just a bad experience for me. Yeah. So,
I don't know. Yeah, that was a huge win because for number one, it sets up the showdown that we have here on Saturday in Missoula, but it takes out a top four seed.
Yeah.
So you're thinking like Idaho's going to win out. So then the Cats, if they win out, you know, they could get the four seed. And I know I said they could still get the four seed because I don't think it's going to happen. I just feel like I have the sinking feeling that somehow we end up with the four seed. But Idaho not there. Like I don't see that. I don't see how the Cats don't get the three seed. Because otherwise, it could have been, you know, South Dakota State, Furman, and or Idaho, and then flip flop those, and then the Cats at number four. But now with Idaho out of the picture, I think the Cats could get number three. So that loss was big. Idaho losing at Weber was a big loss. And they got Idaho State, man. They should handle them, but that'll be interesting to follow.
What would happen if they lose to Idaho State? Then they're what?
Yeah, I'm looking at their record right now. They're 7-3. They'd be 7-4. They'd be 7-4 just like UC Davis.
Bubble team at that point.
With the top 10 win just like UC Davis. They'd have the FBS win. So if somehow it came down to choosing between Idaho and UC Davis for like a final spot from the Big Sky or something like that, I think Idaho would take it.
Yeah.
Although they would have lost two in a row, though. against two non-playoff teams. I don't know. I don't know, man. That would be close. That'd be crazy, man. Idaho, top four seed, like, all year long. They drop the final two games. They get knocked out of the playoffs. It's possible. It's possible.
Yeah.
The Riverboat Gambler. I know.
Sac State going to make the playoffs, Thorny?
Yeah, I think they'll beat UC Davis and get a seed.
Okay. Get a seed?
Yeah. They're like, what, they're ranked number 9? They'll get like the 8 seed or something.
Going in with the freshman quarterback, been on the bench. Yeah. All right. Fair enough. All right. Hey, you want to talk anything Cat Grizz, or you want to mention any Golden Coolies, or do you want to save that for tomorrow?
I think I said the Golden Coolies for tomorrow, because it'd be fun to have someone else answer some of the questions.
All right. And sounds good.
We could kind of let him take some of them and maybe give a little bit of comments, but it'd be kind of fun to have him take them.
All right.
I didn't know how this episode was going to go, but we're 50 minutes into this already, so we could call it here.
Okay.
And actually, yeah, we ended up talking a fair amount about the Grizz. Not a lot of matchups or anything like that, but kind of some bigger storyline and some kind of key things a little bit, but we haven't actually talked about the game. So this could be a good place to stop it and talk. And then tomorrow with Zach, we can talk nothing but the game and answer some coolie questions.
Sounds good to me. Let's do that.
So, all right. Anything else you want to say about Eastern Washington Cat Grizz week? Cause that's kind of what we talked about tonight. Anything else you want to say?
Thanks for listening. Like Thorny, you might be checking out this week, just waiting for the game. But if you're listening to us, and we appreciate it. I know, I think Ryan and I feel a lot more comfortable on this podcast than over the last 5-6 years as we've done it. And maybe sometimes we come across as too comfortable, but hey, thanks for the ride. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm not wearing any pants. It doesn't get more comfortable than that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He's been doing that for a couple seasons. A couple seasons now.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. And fully, you're right. We just appreciate everyone who's been listening since the beginning, since this episode, whenever you started listening to us, we appreciate it. Thanks to our sponsors, Gear Up Sports and Wilbur Ellis. You can always find us on the web, rrcatcast.com. You can find us on Twitter, rrcatcast, Instagram, which Zach's kind of handling now, at rrcatcast. And fully, let's get out here before we talk about the Grizz. So, the final non-Grizz chat, I guess. I'm rambling. Go Cats.
Go Cats.
Go Cats.